Hi, welcome to Heart Equations in the books of Daniel and Revelation. This is class number 18, and let's just begin tonight with a prayer, and that way our hearts can just begin to open up to the Spirit and allowing Him to communicate what only He can, that no mind can reason or heart can comprehend the things that the Spirit wants to share about the very heart of God. So that's where we're going tonight. Lord, we thank You for sharing with us not things, not math, not answers to problems, not variables to solve deep mysteries. Oh, we thank You for opening up Yourself to us, for opening up Your heart to us, for taking us in, through Your scars, through Your death. Such love, Lord. Such love is the entrance into You, God. It's not the wisdom of man. It's not the strivings of flesh, Lord. Father, it's the opening of Yourself to us, the grace that was shed abroad when Your Son gave His life and brought us in. Brought us into You, Father. So, Lord, we ask tonight as we look at these things that we would have dove's eyes, we would have eyes of the Holy Spirit to show us the things of Your heart, to be with You in ways that You have longed for from before creation. Lord, we thank You for this precious time together with You. You are our teacher. We sit at Your feet. We behold Your word, and we look to Your Spirit for the interpretation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, I know that particularly in this class, but as it is in any ongoing course, we're building upon the foundations laid in the preceding classes and discussions. So if you were in math in high school or college or university, it would be very difficult to walk into a trigonometry or advanced algebra class and comprehend how they're doing their equations if you hadn't taken the courses pre-algebra, algebra, algebra 1, etc. All those build together, and it's true in the things of the Lord, not in a man's wisdom, but in the things of God's heart and spirit. He builds in us His Son. He builds. He takes the Word of God and He builds Christ into us, line upon line, precept upon precept. It is the work of the Spirit. It is the work of our Father. And in such manner, this course also relies upon your diligence to search out these things and ponder them and soak in them. And as you do, I believe the Spirit will begin to open your heart to why God put these numbers and these equations, why He hid them and why He scribed them into His Word, why they are His Word. And therefore, they represent Him, not math, but Him. And so we seek to know Him, His heart a little more clearly, that things would add up a little more deeply because we have seen such things in His Word and how precious this is. So tonight we are going to continue to build upon several things and add some new things. But we're going to continue to look at time, times, and the dividing of time. Now, I did a supplementary class on this from my home. It's number 18, and it is very, I think, important. If you haven't had a chance to watch that or really absorb it, it lays a lot of the basics of time, times, and the dividing of time so that foundation can be laid, because it is a key variable in several of the heart equations that we will be doing. And so to have that foundation in you is going to help build the rest of the Word of God in the areas we are looking at. So And I am trying to go a little slower because I believe there is nothing to gain from rushing through information, but to just be with the Spirit, to just be with the Lord in the flow that He wants to go, however slow that is. I believe His pace is perfect for what He wants to impart into us by His life. So, okay, we are looking at time, times, and the dividing of time, but we're going to look right now at that spiritual representation of an equation in the number seven. In the number seven, we're going to look at time, times, and the dividing of time in the number 1, 2, 3, 3.5, 4.5, 5, 6, and 7. And we're going to see it there. I don't know whether I should start with, while I'm pondering what the next move is here, please turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And Lindsay, we can turn that down a little bit so it's not on so consistently, if that's okay. It's just a little bit loud. Okay. While you're turning to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, which is just a quick turn, it's the first verse of the Bible, I do want to mention that let's just look at it in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And let's find time, times, and the dividing of time there. Okay, it is. We saw how it was last week in 42 weeks, in 1,260 days, and in 3.5 days. We saw time, times, and the dividing of time in those specific terms, because 42 months, 1,260 days, and 3.5 days are in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, with extreme spiritual significance to the heart of God. So every time we see 42 months, 1,260 days, 3.5 days, or the terms times, and the dividing of time, we know that that's the Word of God jumping out in our face and saying, hey, something extremely precious to God is happening right now in space and time, in the realm of humans, because God's marking time. His Word is literally marking time right now because it's eternal. Wow! And we talked about what time means last week, what times mean last week, and what the dividing of time means, and how incredibly significant that is in our personal life right now. In fact, I believe the Spirit's sharing it with us right now because it's part of what He's doing in us in this season. So, time, times, and the dividing of time. If you didn't listen to last week, you can just go back to the website and watch that video on YouTube. It's there, but we don't have the time tonight to review that. But we're going to look at a few things to help continue our look at this. All right, we talked about 3.5 days. Let's just review 3.5 days as a picture of time, times, and the dividing of time in a number on a just purely math level. It has its spiritual significance, of course, which we talked in depth about last week. But let's just look at the math right now in that number that represents that spiritual thing to the heart of God. So with 3.5, and I'm just going to pop over here. You may or may not be able to see it. I'm just going to move this a touch. I don't know if that helped. But did it? Okay. So we have 3.5 days. We find it in the book of Revelation in extreme significant places. Okay. So we have time. We're breaking down 3.5. Time, which represents the eternal God and His eternal being and nature. That's going to be one. Times is going to be one plural, which would be two times. We talked about that being a picture of Christ in you, where this divine nature is now in man, so He's not just one, but two, if you will. But we also talked about it as times of tribulation, because this is when Christ in you is manifested if you go with the Lamb. times of testing, times of refining, times of bringing forth the Son, times. And then we talked about the dividing of time in the scriptures. It doesn't say the dividing of times. It says the dividing of time, which is one, or the eternal God, and that would be a half. So we've got one time plus two times plus one half, the dividing of times, and that equals three and a half. And again, we discussed the dividing of time being when God separates the sheep and the goats based on how we handled the times of trial, who we manifested, what nature we conformed to. Okay, so that's that. Now we're going to see times and the dividing of time in the number seven. We see 70 weeks in Daniel. We see 70 years in the captivity through the prophets. We see 7 days in Genesis, in creation. How amazing that from the very first verses of the Bible, God begins talking about a number that represents time, times, and the dividing of time. And let me just put a little spoiler alert or clue up to another equation we'll be doing. He also talks about the daily offering in the very first verses of the Bible. Time, times, and the dividing of time is in Genesis chapter 1. With the number seven, we'll look at it closer in just a moment. The daily offering is also there too, from the very inception of creation. Hallelujah. Let's look mathematically at seven as a representation of time, times, and the dividing of time. Okay? So we've got one, two, three, and a half. And now we're halfway to seven, right? If we go another half, five, six, seven, we have seven. So the number seven is, mathematically speaking, if we cut seven in half, it is 3.5 plus 3.5. So we have the dividing, we have time, times, and the dividing of time twice in the number seven. Because we have 3.5, which is a number that represents time, times, and the dividing of time in Scripture, and 3.5 to make seven. Is that significant? Yes, it is. I want to giggle, I want to laugh, I want to dance. Yes, it is. Do I want to giggle, laugh, and dance because I love math? No, because I love Jesus so much, and this shows his heart in such a cool, awesome way. That has nothing to do with current events and crazy prophecy, but the Lamb of God and the lovers of the Lamb. I just love him. So let's take another look here at this, but let's look at it in creation. So we're at Genesis chapter 1. We're going to begin with verse 1. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at the 7 days, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days of creation in Scripture in Genesis 1. And we're going to see what happened in each day. And we're going to look at the changes that happened from the first 3.5 days of creation through the last 3.5 days of creation and see if we notice something. Okay, so we're not going to probably read everything for the sake of time, but we're going to look at a few choice spots here. Okay. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So here we have nothing formed. Everything empty, void of God. Okay? It's there's nothing there yet. Okay? So that's day one. We're looking at day one as the first part of the 3.5. And then we're going to go to the second part of the 3.5. Okay, so this is just the beginning of the first 3.5 in the 7 days. I hope I'm being plain enough in my speech to okay, not confuse everyone. All right. So it's nothing. It's void, darkness upon the face of the deep. But God says, in day one, let there be light. He divides the light from darkness, calls the light day, and calls the darkness night. So what he has done on his first day is begin to divide light and dark. calling light day and dark night. Now, the end of verse 5 says this, and it says that after every preceding day of the seven, except for maybe the seventh, it says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Where else in the scripture does it say, and the evening and the morning? Lindsay. Daniel is exactly right, because it's almost the only other place in the Word of God that uses the term evening and morning. It's key to a separate place we'll look. What is it representing?
The morning and evening sacrifice, when it's talking about it being,
it's the vision of the evening and the morning sacrifice in Daniel chapter 8. The evening and the morning in the Word of God represents the daily offering of the Lamb. Once in the evening, once in the morning, or once in the morning, once in the evening, depending on where you're at in Scripture or spiritually. So here in the first three verses of, or the first five verses of the Bible, we see time, times, and the dividing of time beginning, and the daily offering being foreshadowed in the very elements of what God is putting forth from the inception of creation out from His heart. Okay, let's look at day two. Day two we have... let's just look at verse 7. God made the firmament. He divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. It was so. Again, He called it the evening and morning, the second day. So here on day 2, He has water. There is no water in the beginning. It's just empty, formless void. And light, night and day, foreshadowing possibly the offering of the Lamb. Okay. Next day, there is water, water that's divided from above and beneath. It's still forming. Things are just still very forming, if you will, embryonic, if you want to almost say it on that level, just forming. Okay, that's day two. And once again, here we are on our seven-day example of time, times, and the dividing of time. We've got the formless, void. We've got water now beginning to be divided. That's this second day. Let's look at the third day. Now we've got dry land appearing in verse 9. God's calling the dry land earth. Earth, we've got an earthen vessel here. And there's waters called seas. The earth is beginning to bring forth grass. Now on the third day, we're going to have to... let's look at that. We'll keep going. Okay, the earth brings forth grass and herb-yielding seed and fruit-yielding trees whose seed is in itself. Upon the earth, and it was so. And now the earth is beginning to bring forth grass, and the seed of things like grass is beginning to spring. Trees with fruit are coming forth. The beginning of something coming from the earth on an herbal, if you almost will say plant level, is beginning to happen on day three. So the earth is just stretching its wings a little bit, just little bit. Something's planted in it that's meant to come out of it, but it's the plants type thing, if you will. Okay, herbs and such. So here we have day three. Now on day four we've got the sun, the moon, and the stars starting to come forth. Now on day four we're beginning to look at the end of the first three and a half and the beginning of the second three and a half. So now we've got things like a moon and the sun and stars, and it says they're governing influences. So government is beginning, ruling the night, ruling the day. Things from above with light are beginning to rule. There's something beginning to govern the earth. Okay, and the earth that has the ability to bring forth something, probably better than plants at a certain point. Do you see what I'm saying? So we're beginning to be introduced into an expanse of potential beyond what we've seen in the first three and a half. Everything in the first three and a half days, to me, just seemed really formative. You know, just the beginnings, which we all have in the process of maturity, in a human being's development. In the beginning, you know, there is just things being formed. You're growing still. You don't have the ability to reproduce yet. You see what I'm saying? The potential's there, but you're pretty much growing hair. You're not growing a baby, right? the life that's coming from you isn't another living being, but it's living things like your hair, and you're getting more flesh, and you're getting more bone. You see what I'm saying? So that formative years, the first 3.5, a time of forming, of being mature, of being, you know, growth, forming and growth. Okay, but now the second half of the 4, all the way through day 5 and 6 up to 7, is going to be our second 3.5. So let's look at that. Now we've got, let's say we look at verse, we talked about the government coming there at the end of the 4. Now we're looking at verse 20 for the 5, day 5. God said, let the waters, now we've got bring forth abundantly. And we have for the first time moving creatures that have life. We have the word life coming on the scene here now on day 5. Great whales, every living creatures that move. And the waters are bringing now, they're not just waters, but the waters are bringing forth abundantly. This is the second half of the 3.5. And it's after their kind, specifically. And verse 22, God says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters in the sea, and the fallow, multiply the earth. So on the 5th day, now we've got the water and the sky multiplying with what? Living things. So there's this, something is happening in the earth more than just the earth. It's bringing forth, and it's bringing forth living things, but not another human being, okay? It's maturity, not quite yet, but the capacity is there and the growth is there. Now, let's go on to day 6. And the Lord said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind. Oh, there it is. Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Beasts of the earth after his kind. Verse 26, Lord says, let us make man in our image. Tell the man to be fruitful and multiply. He made them in his image. He created them male and female. Okay, so now out from the earth is coming a man. A man that's meant to multiply and fill the earth. Sounds like Christ in you, the hope of glory. Sounds like his nature covering the earth like the waters cover the sea. You know, if you could see God's Elohim, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because that is who God is in Hebrew here in Genesis, is Elohim creating man in his image. And in this chain of events we just read, it's Elohim, it's God, with a desire in their heart, a purpose in their heart, a plan in their heart, that it came from their desire to have the things that we search in God's heart to know, that Christ would be formed in us and that Christ would manifest through us, and that we as earthen vessels, like 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7 says, would have a treasure in us whose excellency and power is God. It's not us, it's Christ in us. It's a man child coming out of earthen vessels, like we see in Revelation 12, where the term 1,260 days is used. Okay, so here we see in the first 7 days that there is a purpose in time. Time being all of a sudden measured out by earth, evening and morning. From the beginning, that there is a purpose in all this time for the manifestation of the Son of God through human vessels. We see it in the creation story. At least that's what I was, maybe, you know, that's what I felt I saw from the Lord, but I submit that to you. But so here we've got the 7, but it's not 3.5 days like we see in Revelation. It's 7. And so I said, Lord, why is there 2 3.5s and 7? And why wasn't the captivity 35 years instead of 70? Because 35 would have kind of been like 3.5. It would have been a more times of the dividing of time number. Why is it 70? Because that's 35 twice. That's 3.5 twice. That's, you see what I mean? It's why twice, Lord? And I felt like he said to me, because there was an evening and a morning sacrifice. Because I wanted my lamb twice in the rotation of a cycle of time. I wanted my lamp in the evening and the morning. What does it say? In every day of creation, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. It didn't say the 24-hour period was the fifth day. It said the evening and the morning, and that always signifies in God's heart when his lamb is offered up at the evening sacrifice and the morning sacrifice. Sun goes down, sun comes up. He measures time by his slaughtered lamb being offered up through the earth. So a full cycle of time for him would have to be both an evening and a morning sacrifice. It would have to be 3.5 twice to fulfill a true rotation of time, a completion of time. Okay, so we see that not just in Genesis, but we see it in the prophets, which is kind of like in the middle of the Bible, just like 3.5 is kind of in the middle of 7. We see it in the prophets, where the prophets, like once again we spoke of, are in the middle of the Bible, start prophesying, you're going to go into captivity for 70 years. Jeremiah prophesied this. Daniel prophesied this. Ezekiel was part of that prophecy. So many of them were of this 70-year captivity in Babylon that was ordained by God and prophesied through his prophets. So what's going on in that 7D, in that times, in the dividing of time, in captivity? Well, I just submit this to you, and I realize that so many of the things that I am sharing and I will be sharing truly are just something for you to check, to ponder, to consider. I am not sharing anything as if this is the gospel truth and you know, just you have to believe it. No, I so invite you and humbly just submit to you to check these things out. I've personally never heard these things except by the Holy Spirit, and I have no confidence in myself. I am easily deceived, and I don't trust in my flesh at all. So see if these things be so, and if they are so, if they're so in the heart of Jesus in a way that can affect us for him, because that's why he shares. He's not into math, he's into his son. Okay, so why would, in the middle of the Bible where the prophets are, why would another 70 or times in the dividing of time show up? I will submit, once again, I'll submit this thought to you. I believe that by the prophets, if the Bible was a book of the maturity of mankind and Genesis was its birth, it was just when the baby was born of mankind, and Revelation is the end of maturity where the church is travailing to bring forth the man-child, and she fulfills her maturity as the wife of the Lamb and brings forth his spirit, the spirit of the Lamb in her trials. I believe that's a picture of the maturity of the generations of mankind. Okay, and in the middle of that, after you've had Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and God's dealings and God's word and God's spirit moving among men and bringing the lamb in Exodus to fill them with another life that they might know his heart and his ways and enter in and possess the land and know him. And, you know, all these things have come before the prophets, that at that point they should be mature enough, the people of God, to bring forth Christ in their tribulation, in their trials, to manifest the nature of the Lamb in the fiery trials, to show forth the glory of God through Jesus Christ, the slaughtered Lamb, in their attitudes, in their conversation, as 1 Peter says, in their ways, in their well-doing, as 1 Peter says, that they would show forth the image of God by letting Christ be their life and his Lamb nature, that this should be upon God's people. They are mature enough to bring forth life, like we saw in Genesis in the second half of the 7 days, that the church would be mature enough to let Jesus be formed and come out of them in their attitudes, in their response, in their nature, in their life, as their life. So the Lord brings a time of, times of tribulation. What does a woman do when she's going to bring forth a child? She goes into travail. Birth pangs come upon her. We see these words in the scriptures concerning this time where the Lord says, I am putting you into these times of testing, but really times of trial, so that the tribulation will come where you will press out. You will travail in childbirth to bring forth Jesus in your situations. You're mature enough now to let Jesus live through you. It's time for the times of manifestation to come upon you. You know, in the Word of God, if you search it out, it says the end times are here. Read it. Never says the end time is here, as if it's just one big event at the very end of the age that only happens to a certain few. Again, I'm just submitting things to you. I'm not saying this is so, just my contemplations with the Lord to you. But I never see end time. I always see end times. Like the times are upon us to travail and bring forth the Son. He's formed. The maturity should be there to bring forth a child, to bring forth Christ, and not just have the seed of Christ in us, but not a formed Jesus. It's time for him to not be liquid, but solid. It's time for him not to be teaching, but nature. It's time for him to be more than your belief system, but your attitudes and responses. God says, I created man that they would be in my image. And each day I cry, Elohim was like, bring forth abundantly and eventually bring forth one in our image, a man, and multiply and fill the earth. The time has come. Maturity is upon her. She can travail in birth and bring forth my Son now. The seed was in her in the first beginning days. Now the seed should come out of her in manifestation of our life. And so the times come where it's not just, oh, Lord, I just don't want to go too fast. I just don't want to go too fast with all of this. So we're going to stop there. All of our equations kind of, it's like a beautiful tapestry in the Word where it's like they're woven into each other. Like if you understand by the heart of God, time, times, and the dividing of time, then when you come over here with the daily offering equation, it hems right in. And then the other ones with the captivity hem up, and they all begin to just sing together like an orchestra. And so I'm tempted sometimes to move into another one prematurely. And that's where God is trying to form his Son in me to not get ahead of him, but to honor him as Lord when I'm teaching, and to just let him be the instructor, not me just talk. And I need so much more of Jesus in that way. So you can pray for me for the sake of others, that I would let Christ be formed in me for that, for his glory, for his precious people. So we've looked at seven. Now we're gonna just look at the number seven in another way. And if you have a pen, you might want to jot this down, but I'm just going to say a few things here now about seven. Seven is part of time, times, and the dividing of time. We just really looked at that together. Seven is the complete cycle of creation, where it's not just a baby, you know, or a seed sown into the soil, or an empty, formless void, but an earth that's bringing forth one after the image of God. Okay. There are 7 days in a week. There is 7 days in a week. 70 years usually defines the lifespan of a man. It also defines a generation as allotted in the time period of the captivity. And these are things that are found in the scriptures. They're not just general, you know, things. This is where we see seven in the Word. Okay. If you take 7 years, and some of you have your phones with you, and you can ask Suri, and she'll tell you, or you can type it in on the calculator app that you have, or do some math on your own on a piece of paper. How many weeks are in 7 years? How many weeks are in 7 years? How many weeks are in 7 years? 365. How many days? So there's 365 weeks in 7 years. Not 6 years, not 8 years, not 2 years, not 3 years. In 7 years, you've got exactly 365 weeks. How many days are in 1 year? 365 days are in 1 year. So let's review that. We're going to link a few more things tonight. Okay. 7 years equals 365 weeks. So inside of a seven, you've got a 365. Inside of a seven, you've got 1 year. You've got 1 year represented like no other year represents. You don't find a 365 in 6 years. You don't find a even 365 in 8 years. You only find 365 in 7 years. Okay, and I personally believe that's significant. There are 365 days in 1 year. Okay? So 1 year, or which is 365 days, comes out from seven, which is a representation of time times and the dividing of time twice because of the evening and morning sacrifice. I know this is a lot, and that's why I just, you know, try to take it slow. But we'll rehearse these things. We'll go back over them together. Okay, so 365, which is a number that demarks days. It's a day number, 365 days in a year. We find that inside of 7 years, which demarcates time times and the dividing of time. So we have a day that we're looking at now. There's 365 of them in 1 year. There's that number's in seven. But how many hours now are in 1 day? See, we're finding days inside of 7 years, specifically. Okay? How many hours are in 1 day? There's 24 hours in 1 day. Okay. But we spoke of a day not being just a 24-hour period like we saw in Genesis. God didn't just call a day a 24-hour period. What did God do to define a day, a total cycle? It was an evening and a morning. So that would mean you divide it, right? So 24 divided in half is 12. Okay. Are y'all still with me?
You said write it down.
Yeah, I said write it down. Okay, 12 is the number that's found in the book of Revelation and in the scriptures, Gospels, probably the Old Testament and New, that demarcates followers of the Lamb. Okay, you have 12 disciples, 12 apostles of the Lamb. You have 144,000 who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Who knows how to break down 144,000 by 12? Anybody?
12,000 times 12.
12,000 times 12 is 144,000. Okay, so 12 is a number of those who follow the Lamb. It's 1 day, which is 24 hours, has two 12s in it, a morning and an evening sacrifice. Okay? And so we find that inside of the seven, that also it breaks in half with the three and a half and the three and a half. Okay, we don't have to get too crazy here because it can get complicated. We give our minds a little time to think around this. But what we're trying to say is that you have this evening and morning sacrifice, or morning and evening sacrifice. You have this desire for God to have the Lamb in man all throughout the Word of God, even down to the point where the numbers represent it. Listen, 12 isn't the number of birds and orangutans or cycles of the moon and stars. 12 represents those who follow the Lamb. It's not 666, the number of man. It's those who follow the Lamb, and it's twice in a day. Another thing that's twice in a day is the morning and evening offering of the Lamb. And you find 365 of those twice a day offered lambs in 7 years. And you also find them in 70 years. So we look at the 70-year captivity and you break it down on a daily level and you see morning and evening offerings needed by the followers of the Lamb every day. Okay, I don't know. And that's not even the fun stuff. That's just some prep. Okay, it's good for my brain to be renewed by having to say these things. Okay. All right, here we go. So, we have, let's just review. We have 7 days of creation from the very beginning. Halfway through at the 3.5 point, God starts talking about the earth not being formed, but the earth bringing forth. Okay? And what it want, and what he wants this earth to bring forth is one that's made in his image. It's a picture of us bringing forth Christ, in my humble opinion. So there's our first seven. We found that there's 2 3.5s in seven, because the first half would be maybe the Lamb that's offered for us, that we would have that seed in us. But by the second half, it's the Lamb that's offered through us as our life, the evening sacrifice. Okay, so within those 7 days, we all of a sudden find there's this 365 number that represents every single day of the year, every single day of the year, every day that's made up of 24 hours, which really is made up of a morning, which is 12 hours, and an evening, which is 12 hours. You've got these people offering up the Lamb. And so it's not the math that makes the difference. It's the heart of God that wants his Lamb that much out of humans. He always had his Lamb at his right hand. He always, God, from eternity past, was they had each other. God always had his Son. They always had one another. The Father never had his Son out of a human, out of an earthen vessel, us. So when they created all this, they just were excited about what was in their heart, that he would dwell in us and he would live through us and the Father would receive his Son through us. And so from the beginning, even hidden in the very numbers, is the heart of God and his desire for the Lamb every day. Through who? Through the people who follow the Lamb, the apostles of the Lamb, the 144,000 that follow. For those who love him and will follow him. How many times? Twice. Evening and morning, morning and evening. And do we have to understand all that? No, the one thing to walk away from isn't the numbers. The one thing to walk away remembering isn't the numbers. It's the heart of the Lord and just the impression of, oh, sweet Lord, you are so hungry for your Son. Every day, from every human being you created from the beginning of creation till now, down to the exact numbering of everything, based on your desire, your heart, and your love for your Son. So let's leave there. Let's leave it there. I pray the Lord minister his heart to yours. And, you know, for me, it takes a long time. I have to get my calculator out. Number one, I have to get my Word of God out, my heart out, my Holy Spirit, our Holy Spirit, the Father's Spirit, testify of the Lord in these things. And then I have to go through it. I have to search it out. I have to ask the Lord, is this so? And I need to bear witness. I need to see it. I need to see him. You know, I certainly wouldn't just believe me if I heard this for the first time at all. I would be very skeptical. I would need to hear it from the Lord, to see it in his face, to see it in his heart. So I do want to just submit that to you. Lindsay.
Ironically, he's saying it to 12 people. he says, are there not 12 hours in a day? And like, isn't that so funny that he probably just meant so much more? Like, I know why we put 12 hours in a day. You know what I mean? Like, I was there. But he says, are there not 12 hours in a day? And then he talks about you can walk by the light of day during that first 12, but you stumble at night because the light's not in you.
That's it. That's it. That's beautiful. That is beautiful. That's the Holy Spirit right there sharing. And I have goosebumps because I know that this is all over the place in the Word, but I know that the Lord is going to share it with you. So I'm really excited to hear, just like Lindsay shared with us now, what the Lord's sharing with you. And I do believe that there may be a time where we can somehow take what God's sharing with you and put it together. I want to tell you that there's a great possibility that I will not complete this course this semester. I will not continue as a Bible school class, but I may, on a side personal thing that's not even recorded live, do a blog. And in that, just so we can just kind of walk through all of it slowly, the ones who are interested, and really get it, you know, with the Lord. But I would love to gather all of your input and the things God showed you in the Word, and we could put those notes down there, those scriptures like what Lindsay shared, and really fellowship and let the Spirit of the Lord, you know, bring that, the joyful celebration of His heart in these things as we together see it in the Word. So just if you have something and you would love to share with us, just email me and we can let the love flow, let the Word be a feast for all of us. So let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for the wonder of your Word, the awesome wonder of how your Holy Word testifies of your heart, of your Son, of your image, of your desires, of the wonder of you. Oh Lord, it's not that we love math, but we sure do love your heart and how hungry you are for your Son, and how the template of Him overlaid everything you created. By Him all things were made. For Him all things consist. For Thy pleasure were they all created. Oh Lord, we just long to be with those that do follow the Lamb, that are so with you, that it's no longer math on paper or scriptures in a book, but something that's written in our heart that adds up when we're in times of trial and it's time to travail and bring forth the Son to the Father. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, let it be in our hearts. Let Christ be formed in us. Let Him come forth each day, evening and morning. We love you, Lord. We're hungry for you, hungry to reach your heart through your Son, through us. So we just lay ourselves before you, Lord. We cry out, we seek you. In Jesus' name, amen.